Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea in for Anthony Brooks. Today, the Libyan rebel group the Transitional National Council set a four-day deadline for pro-Gaddafi forces to surrender, amidst reports that members of the Gaddafi family, including his wife and several children, have fled to Algeria.
The Libyan leader himself remains at large. But a new report released by the Cambridge-based group Physicians for Human Rights claims that in months of fighting, pro-Gaddafi forces have committed brutal crimes against civilians.
The report is called Witness to War Crimes. It's based on more than 50 interviews that Physicians for Human Rights conducted in Libya. We're going to hear some of the group's findings now, but first a warning to our listeners. The interview that we'll hear over the next 10 minutes is at points graphic and may not be appropriate for all listeners.
Richard Solem is the deputy director for Physicians for Human Rights, and he says the interviews were conducted in the city of Misrata.
At the time in May, Misrata, which is a large strategic port city in western Libya on the Mediterranean, had suffered about 2 months of heavy shelling by Gaddafi forces. We decided to go in at the end of May as quickly as the rebels liberated the city because we knew that we'd been receiving reports from physicians and health workers that there were crimes against humanity and war crimes being committed.
You conducted interviews with some 54 residents of Misrata over this time. What did they tell you?
Horrific stories. Gaddafi forces use children as human shields to protect them from NATO bombing, for example. An attack on an elderly care facility and the disappearance of elderly nursing home residents, including physically disabled and mentally handicapped adults, torture, rape, and execution of civilians, attacks on hospitals, ambulances, doctors, and the sick and wounded. I mean, the list goes on and on. We even saw military orders to starve civilians in Misrata and to block humanitarian aid from getting into this port city.
Tell me about the Gaddafi regime's alleged use of rape as a weapon.
I specifically went with Dr. Katie Close, who's an internist, to document forensically cases of rape, because that, of course, is a particularly heinous crime, and we were receiving reports that and allegations that rape was used as a weapon of war. When we got there, however, we, of course, realized, having worked in other Muslim countries, that rape is stigmatized in this culture, and it's very, very difficult for families and women and their husbands and brothers and fathers to talk about. And such was the case when we were there as well. So although that we do report on secondhand accounts of rape as a weapon of war, we weren't able to interview or forensically document any women. So this is a difficult war crime to investigate. It's our opinion that rape has been used as a weapon of war and that this culture and this society needs help in dealing with the trauma that this country has gone through. We believe that by documenting these war crimes and bringing individual perpetrators to justice is the best way for this country to move forward.
Another reality of rape in much of the Islamic world is that honor killing is often a secondary result of rape being used as a weapon of war. Your report documents one instance in which a father slit the throats of his three daughters who had all been raped, ages 15 through 18. I can't imagine anything more horrifying.
It's such a difficult, horrific story. And when I was speaking with several people who corroborated this story, it was heart-wrenching for the friends of this family who spoke with us on condition of anonymity, that the pain that this father was going through. Again, it's very difficult to understand, and we certainly don't condone such action, but imagine this happening throughout the country. There are very hopeful signs, however, that I heard of a particular imam in Misrata, a religious leader, who has publicly spoken out against this stigma that women and families should not feel stigmatized. And in fact, that the women who were raped should be praised and treated as war heroes. So The country is trying to deal with this, and I'm afraid that we're only going to be receiving more reports of rape as a weapon of war in this country.
I have to ask, you gathered these findings through an interview process. How do you know that the Libyan witnesses that you interviewed are credible? Aren't a number of them sympathetic to the rebels and opposed to the Gaddafi regime? Wouldn't there be a motivation to exaggerate or maybe even fabricate?
It's a very fair question and an important one. Much of the evidence that we collected actually didn't even end up in our report because I couldn't corroborate them. So by corroboration, I mean speaking with independently and privately with other individuals who recounted the same story. Not similar stories, but the same story. We also corroborated that with visiting the reported places where the human rights abuses took place. So, for example, when a person recounted that a certain mosque had been attacked, we went and visited that mosque. We took photographic evidence. We saw how minarets were shelled and destroyed. So that's another factor in our evidence collection. So Physicians for Human Rights is very conservative in its approach when we do qualitative research like this. And so it's my opinion that the information that we collected evidence on are credible eyewitness testimonies.
Your report is, of course, limited to alleged human rights abuses on the part of pro-Gaddafi forces. And you specifically state, and I'm quoting here, that the report neither confirms nor denies whether rebel and NATO forces may have committed war crimes. Why not look into that possibility?
Oh, definitely. It's very important to look at atrocities that were committed allegedly on all sides. We just needed to talk about this specific limitation to this specific study because we only got into Misrata. Remember that Misrata was still under heavy siege at the time we were there. There were three fronts on the war, the western, southern, and eastern sides. We got in via cargo ship from Malta and were able to stay there for just about 7 or 8 days. We couldn't travel into government-held areas just because of security situation. So this is a definite limitation to our report, but these allegations and reports that are coming out of alleged rebel atrocities must be investigated as well. It should be noted that the Transitional National Council, the de facto government right now, is saying all the right things, that they are telling civilians not to commit revenge killings, for example. They are telling rebel forces not to pillage and loot towns and areas that come under their control. So they're doing all the right things. Again, what's very important is for individual perpetrators to face justice and to be held account for these atrocities.
Physicians for Human Rights makes some specific policy recommendations in this report, including some for the United States, but many more for the Transitional National Council. How much of this is a prescriptive recommendation for the council, and how much of it is just a warning that the rest of the world will be watching?
Oh, I'd say it's both. That's where we have quite a list of recommendations that not only the U.S. government, but the TNC, the rebel forces, Gaddafi forces that are still fighting, as well as the International Criminal Court. There's much to be done as the country moves in this period of transition towards justice, and it must be based on the rule of law. So although, for example, that the Transitional National Council is advocating that they try Gaddafi and his son and the other person who has a warrant out for his arrest by the ICC, they need to show that they are not only willing but also able to conduct fair trials for these defendants and other defendants that will assuredly come to their attention.
As we speak, Colonel Gaddafi is at large. We don't know whether or not he would be tried by domestic authorities in Libya or at the International Criminal Tribunal. If called upon to submit evidence for a domestic trial, would you do so?
Physicians for Human Rights is an independent organization. We are not supported by any government in the work that we're doing on Libya, nor by the ICC, and we are ready to help the Transitional National Council with collecting evidence, with giving advice on how to secure and safeguard evidence and crime scenes that, for example, are occurring right now in Tripoli. So absolutely.
Richard Solem is the deputy director and lead author of the Physicians for Human Rights report, Witnesses to War Crimes. You can find a link to the report on our website, radioboston.org.
There's more of the show after the break. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea. This is Radio Boston.